This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
It also says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, are in charge, the people mourn. And so, but the Bible does tell us that he'll give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, in spite of that. But it also says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. I want to encourage all of you in this time of political chaos and so forth, remain salt and light in the culture. Continue to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, wherever you go. Because listen, a fresh fire is coming on this country and coming on his believers. Could you show those pictures for me back there on Bakersfield, California? I want you to see what's going on out there. Listen, there's tent revival meetings going on in Bakersfield, California. Mario Murillo is preaching out there. They couldn't put them all in a tent. They had to sit them outside. Every night they're having this. Hundreds of people get born again every single night. And you say, well, California's pretty liberal and, you know, out there. But the point is this, that the liberals and the left-wingers and all that they're doing are driving the people to Jesus. They're driving the populace to a place of desperation, and they're coming to Jesus. If we have any more, yeah, just show them all. That's good. Gang leaders are coming to Jesus. Drug addicts, gang members, businessmen are coming to Jesus out here. And you see, back in 1906, there was an earthquake in California, and the newspapers didn't publicize so much the earthquake, but rather they publicized the Azusa Street revival that was going on. That made the news more so. So we brought out the point, I think, last week that where there is a crisis, usually subsequent to that crisis is some sort of a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal. And we're going to see it, church. Do you believe it? It's coming. It's already begun. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:22, those who sit in darkness shall see a great light. The veil is being lifted, and God is exposing lies. And he's going to shake and bring to justice those corrupt people. Amen. Whomever they might be. God has not taken his hand off of this nation. A wind is blowing. The winds of change. Change for good. Change that will glorify God. Like a weather vane changing directions, right? God is on the move. It's not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm going to switch mics here. Communion elements. We'll get to them here in just a little bit. But many are predicting the fall of this nation, and I'm looking for a rebirth of this nation. How about you? And so instead of listening to the news media and some of the so-called prophets in the news, begin to listen to God's word and to God, men of God. You know, back there in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says that concerning the people of Israel in their bondage, it said they sighed by reason of their bondage. The next thing it says is God remembered his covenant with his people, and he responded with a deliverer. God has not forgotten America. God is going to, not the people remembered it, God remembered the covenant, and God is going to remember his covenant with the United States of America, so do not give up. The national situation is not finalized. God will have the last word. Glory to God. He is not taking his hand off of America. Stand up and be salt and light. Be the church. Watch your words. Walk in love. Don't deck anybody. Amen. Keep walking in love. You know, over there in Mark chapter 5, verse 39, Jairus' daughter had died. You recall that? And Jesus went to visit where she was, and the Bible says that there were professional mourners there, and they were weeping. And Jesus said, why make you this ado? This girl is not dead. She's only asleep. And the same thing holds true with our country. This country is not dead. And it's being wakened up right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible says, awake to righteousness. So good things are happening in spite of the circumstances. You saw just the other day where Sudan has now signed the Abrahamic Accord with the rest of those nations in the Middle East. And now, what is it, four or five nations that have gotten on board to support Israel, people who are now, these are Arab nations now doing business with Israel. This is unprecedented, unheard of in our times. Glory to God. So we thank God for what our president did to us to impart that. This is historic and highly important accomplishment. You know, many conservative judges are out there too right now who are standing ready to stop abortion. Many of them. I forget how many were put in place, but we know two Supreme Court justices. So at any rate, did you hear this too? Missouri just the other day voted to become the first abortion-free state in America. Glory to God. Come on, let's praise Him for it. This is the last facility in that state, the last abortion clinic in that state has been closed. And in this past year, 45 abortion clinics have been closed in the United States. And now, listen, the Supreme Court just ruled that you cannot send an abortifacient pill to a woman through the mail.
Hallelujah.
By a 6-3 vote, they cannot do it. They've got to come in person and get that. Well, we'll believe for it all to be wiped out, but we'll take that right now, right? Amen. Come on, let's praise Him for that as well. So stay encouraged. Many good things are going to happen as people wake up. So just hold her steady. Amen. When it looks bleak, God has a plan. Do you know that in 2022, when the next congressional election comes up, we could win back the House and the Senate? And that would change things dramatically, wouldn't it? So don't lose heart. Don't lose focus. Don't take the easy path. Be salt and light. Because listen, every time there's a Friday, a doom and gloom Friday, there's always a Sunday that comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is a cliffhanger God, isn't He? Now, the cliff, that's my name, but He's a cliffhanger God. And He can come through in the last minute. So let's believe Him. Don't put away your hope. And listen, a political party is not the answer to our dilemma. It's Jesus is the answer to our dilemma. Amen. Let's just take a minute and pray for America right now. Heavenly Father, we lift up this great nation. And Father, You do have a covenant with America established at Plymouth, established at the beginning of the colonies, Father, in Virginia. Father, we thank You, God, that we want to remind You of that covenant. You said You would be mindful of Your covenant. And so, Father, turn this nation around. We pray for our elected officials, for our present president, vice president, cabinet, the entire executive and judicial and legislative branches of the government. Thank You for them and their families, Lord. Turn this nation around, Father. Put a fire in the bellies of the people, Father, and cause them to turn to Jesus and cause this nation to be a righteous nation, Father. For You said righteousness would exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach. So we're believing You for it, Father, right now. We break the power of the devil over this nation, command You to desist Your maneuvers in this country, and we are in agreement right now. And if you are, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we can go to talking about the blood. Go get to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1 and 21. Oh, glory to God. Father, thank You for this word today. And we do thank You so much for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there's an old song we used to sing. Maybe you can join in with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Well, it washes white as snow. Well, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. Yes, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. Yes, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. Colossians 1:21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now, say now, not tomorrow, now hath he reconciled. He's restored you to favor. That's what reconciled means. Restored you to favor with God. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What has the blood done? It's enabled you to be presented holy, unblameable. And that means nobody can point a finger at you and say, well, you did this, you bad person. No, no. Unblameable. Unreprovable. That means no one else can chide you or chew you out because God has exonerated you. The blood has been provided to alleviate guilt and condemnation. Sure, we must repent, but when we do, then we've got to combat the feelings, well, I'm not righteous, or the feelings that I'm dirty or what have you. Once you've been forgiven of sin, throw off the condemnation because the blood of Jesus has taken care of that. I said it earlier. There's not one thing in you that the blood cannot cleanse. So notice, you are now holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. My faults, my flaws, we all have them, imperfections. But he finds nothing against you because he sees you in Christ. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Because of the perfection of the sacrifice, glory to God. Andrew Murray said this. He said, applying the blood is the highest act of worship. In fact, you got to apply the blood in order to get into worship. In the tabernacle, they had to apply blood. Remember? Said the people got sprinkled, the book got sprinkled, the utensils got sprinkled with blood. That's a bloody service. But it was on us. And you see, the same thing happened to us through the ultimate perfect sacrifice, which is Jesus. Blood has been sprinkled upon you, and now God sees you through the blood of Jesus. The moment of the, and the, listen, the moment you bring up the blood of Jesus, it lifts one's heart and soul into the very presence of God. So we've got to have faith in that blood. In fact, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 3. We're going to take communion in just a little bit. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction, through faith in his blood. Underline that in that phrase in your Bible. Through faith in his blood. Say it with me today. Through faith in his blood. We must have faith in what the blood accomplished, because the knowledge of it will help you to get the benefit of it. If you lack the knowledge of what the blood of Jesus did, and maybe you doubt what it did, and maybe you allow accusations and condemnation and that sort of thing once you've been forgiven, listen, then you're not really having faith in the blood. Well, I'm a lousy this, and I feel like I'm this and that. And no. Listen, faith comes before feelings. Amen. Say that with me. Faith comes before feelings. We must have faith in the blood and not how we feel, or not those accusations that we hear in our head. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I did. Listen, there's nothing. I'll say it again. There's nothing in you that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. So he was a propitiation through faith in his blood. Why? To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Remission of sins. Now, in the Old Testament, We were forgiven of sins. And it says God doesn't remember them. But in the New Testament, we're talking about remission of sins. Where not only does God not remember them, he erases the remembrance from you. If you allow him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Forgiveness is one thing, but remission is something else. Everybody say, my sins have been remitted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So, today we're worshipers and we come by the blood. Once again, we're not accepted on our own merits, but we are accepted on the merit of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. God accepts us based on the condition of the sacrifice. Jesus. The perfection of Jesus. Not our flaws and shortcomings. Now we have access to worship. In fact, it says in Hebrews 10:19, come boldly to the throne of grace. How? By the blood of Jesus. That's the only way we can enter in and truly worship and have access to his presence. Glory to God. Blood eliminates the blood. His blood eliminates the condemnation and the separation from God. When you think about the blood of Jesus, you'll no longer, stay separate, disenfranchised or remote. No. It says you can come boldly into his very presence because of that blood that has cleansed you, that blood that he looks through and sees you holy, unreprovable, unblameable. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. How are we doing on our time? Everybody say, go ahead, Pastor. Thank you. I think I will. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. See, the blood that was shed, animal blood was just a foreshadowing types of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That means eternal redemption. That means forever. That means if you have sinned, maybe you go out of here today and you sin. I hope you don't. But if you do, you can go to him and say, Father, thank you. Forgive me, Lord. I repent. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses me and puts me right back in that position with you. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus and the power that's in the blood. You remember that song that we used to sing? There is no mountain high enough. There is no valley low enough. What comes next? No river wide enough, but... Yeah, anyhow, I'll figure it out in a minute. It's all about the blood. Yeah. The blood cleanses us. Hallelujah. And so, where was I on this? Okay. Entered in once. The blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offering himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, what he does with the blood of Jesus, he even changes your likes, what you like to do. How many found that to be true? You used to like some things to do, but you no longer like to do those things. And when you see it on TV, you turn it off, right? He changes your likes. The blood of Jesus applied to us. Oh, brings such relief. It causes us to want to live for him with all of our hearts. Glory to God. But he took his blood into the presence of God, sprinkled his blood on the heavenly mercy seat, and obtained eternal redemption for you and me. That's the power to set you free from sin. And notice, it's connected to an eternal spirit. Listen, when you honor the blood, the Holy Ghost will show up. I said, when you honor the blood and give reverence to the blood, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to move and do miracles. He's moving in here right now among you. I don't know what he's doing in your life, but he's doing something. So these two are connected, the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You honor the blood, the Spirit moves. The Spirit will move when we honor the blood. It's true. So the word remission, we just read it. What does it mean? It entails this, that it encompasses the cancellation of sin. The cancellation of the penalty as well. Aren't you glad he's canceled the penalty of sin? Oh, well, I should be penalized for what I did. He said he canceled the penalty of your sin. Hallelujah. And the removal of the guilt and the shame that accompanies it. Say amen, somebody. Amen. The blood changes your likes. The blood, then, once your life has been touched, there is absolutely no evidence of your past condition or that it even ever existed. You are like a brand new baby never having sinned because of the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. The blood made us righteous. It restored us to fellowship with God. And God, once again, I'll say it, he sees you through the blood of Jesus as though you never did anything wrong. Oh, Pastor, that sounds too good to be true. Yes, Jesus is too good to be true. His blood is too good. Amen. But it is true. And now what do? We identify with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we begin to apply the blood. My points are back there. I don't know if you can put them up or not, but there's one about applying the blood. In other words, you need to acknowledge when the blood is applied, there is no evidence that your condition ever existed. So how do we apply the blood? Well, one way of doing it is simply by saying, thank you, Father, I'm redeemed. Thank you, by the blood of Jesus, I'm forgiven. By the blood, I'm engrafted into him. By the way, one translation does say we've been engrafted into Jesus, into him. The power of sin is broken. And the accompanying effects of guilt and shame, thank you, Father, that I don't need that any longer because of the blood of Jesus. Oppression has been broken. Depression has been broken because of the blood of Jesus. And it has been brought to an end, glory to God, because of the blood. So we need to begin to say, I've been redeemed by the blood. You can say it with me. Go ahead. And confusion has to leave. Condemnation has to leave. Shame must go. Oppression because of the blood. Thank you for the blood. I don't need to worry. I don't need to have anxiety because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise for it today. Hallelujah. So we have an application. In other words, knowing what the blood has done is number one, the education of it. But then the application of that blood is very important. And how do we do that? With our words. By acknowledging, Father, thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. Thank you that oppression is not part. In other words, saying it. Have faith in the blood, but we apply it by our words as we express to him. By saying, I have faith in that blood. Romans 4:25. The Lord has turned my captivity by his blood. Say that with me. The Lord has turned my captivity because of his blood. You see, they applied in the Old Testament, they applied the blood of the animals to the doorposts and lintels. So we can apply the blood of Jesus to our family, to our household, by our words. When we say, Father, I have faith in the blood of Jesus over my household, over my family, over my children, over my occupation, over my transportation, everything, Father. Thank you, I apply the blood. Declaring and acknowledging. And what happens when you do that? Satan trembles. He doesn't want to hear anything about the blood. In fact, the old-time Pentecostals used to do what's called slinging blood based on Isaiah 43:25. In fact, you can turn there with me. And that's the old time Pentecostals would sling blood. In other words, they'd say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood. Exodus 43, I think it is. Isaiah, what did I say? Isaiah 43:25. Thank you, brother. 43:25. Notice it says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. He does it for his own sake. You know, when you apply the blood of Jesus, now you go into his presence boldly and fellowship him and have an intimacy with him. You have a meeting with God. And you know, you say, well, what if God doesn't want to meet with me? Listen, he wants to meet with you more than you want to meet with him. It's true. So notice what it says. For I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. There's the word plead. I plead the blood of Jesus. Plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Pleading the blood of Jesus over your family, over your situation, over your health. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus over my health. Over your children, over what they're doing. I heard a story. One guy said he brought a girl home to his mother who was a Pentecostal, pled the blood all the time. He said this girl was not necessarily serving God, and she had a mini skirt on and all this kind of thing. He brought her home, and his mother says, I plead the blood of Jesus. And then he said he brought home from Bible college the girl that was going to be his future wife, a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And when he brought her home, she says, oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus. So notice it says, plead. I plead the blood. You say, is there anything wrong with that? No, you can plead the blood if you want. That's one way of applying it. Or you can just simply acknowledge, I have faith in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood working in my home right now, in my family, my children. See, you're applying the blood the same way. I have faith in the blood of Jesus. Say it with me. I have faith in the blood of Jesus. But you see, the word plead is a legal term that they use in court cases. And it simply means, you know, where a judge would be involved and so forth. And when you say the word plead, what are you saying? You're saying, I rest my case on what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. I rest my case, and I'm no longer guilty. I'm no longer condemned. I am free because of the blood. And I have faith in that blood. Glory to God. So when a judge would plead your case, that's when he'd use that. I rest my case. That's what it means. I rest my case on the mercy and the grace of God. Well, I feel disqualified. I don't deserve it. Listen, I told you earlier that the blood is connected to the blessing. So some people call, I've been blood blessed. I've been blood blessed by the blood of Jesus. Because of the mercy and grace of God Almighty on my life. That blood reaches into the heavens and declares that I am innocent. I am forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm no longer guilty, praise God. Let me tell you one last story and then we'll take communion. Do you remember the story in Joshua chapter 2 about the harlot named Rahab? And do you remember the spies came to her? And she hid the spies up on the roof in the bales of flax. And then the king came, or one of his guards or whatever, came to her and says, where are these spies? Well, she told him, I think they went that away. You know. And so the spies had told her, listen, we are going to preserve you because you've helped us. So they told her to hang a crimson thread out of her window, a scarlet thread out of her window. And when the Israelites came in, they destroyed everyone else, the city and so forth, but they preserved her alive because of that red, scarlet thread or whatever, crimson, whatever color it was, but it represents the blood of Jesus. She was applying blood in a sense, symbolically. And you and I can apply the blood in our situation so that our family, our children, our friends and neighbors or whomever we stand in the gap for can be preserved because of the blood. And there's a token, just like it was when they put it on the doorposts and lintels. The blood is over, say it with me, the blood is over my family. Thank God for the blood. She did that, that's right, to get her family saved. And listen, that blood, that cord represented a covenant with God. And see, Jesus shed blood represents a covenant with God, a binding agreement between you and him. Because of the blood, Satan cannot touch your children and your family. He's got to keep his mess away from you. Glory to God. Titus says, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Even a harlot. This woman was a harlot. But yet, she was exonerated. She was forgiven. So no matter what you've done, there is no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's lift our hands and praise him for it today. We don't have to do that. You already got your stuff for communion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may not feel righteous. You may not feel forgiven, but you are. By faith. That's right. You may not feel righteous, but through faith in his blood, you are. It may not look like it, but you are. Is there anybody that did not get one of these? We have a tray. Put your hand up if you... Thank you. Brother Gil needs a... Ushers, would you get brother... There's some pans up right here, so let's... Yeah, thank you for passing those out. So this bread and body represent the body and blood of Jesus. Thank you. And when you plead the blood, or when you acknowledge and apply that blood in, by verbally having faith in the blood of Jesus, you are well-pleasing in God's sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sure, Matt, please. Come on up.
Just the thought I had, I was listening to a sermon on communion yesterday, and it was talking about how at a wedding, they kind of, it's customary to have a reception where there's food and eating, and it's in some customs, it's part of the covenant, is eating with the bride and the bride and groom eating with their family. And I just want to bring that on into this situation where as we, so to speak, have dinner with Jesus.
Yes.
That wasn't the Last Supper, by the way, because there's a lot more suppers with Jesus we're going to have.
Amen, that's right.
But kind of as we take this cup and this bread and we have a meal with Jesus, we are reestablishing the covenant that we have with him.
That's good.
And just to receive that today as you take your healing and your forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Just receive that that's a covenant that yes. He, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're going through,
yeah.
He wants to... come through for you.
I'm so glad you shared that. Mm-hmm. Just reaffirming your covenant. This covenant that purges us from all sin and all unrighteousness. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say all unrighteousness. Well, I killed somebody. It doesn't matter. It covers that too. Cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Listen, if he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. That's your position in him. He's made you righteous by his precious blood. So, Father, thank you for this bread. Father, we partake of this bread knowing full well that by his stripes we were healed. And, Father, we receive healing today because Jesus bore our sicknesses. Your word says in Isaiah 53:4, him surely hath borne our griefs. The word griefs in the Hebrew means sicknesses. And bore our sorrows. The word sorrows means pains. Got any sickness today? Got any pains in your body today? Take this bread and be alleviated of the pain and the sickness, just like it did with Millie. Let's partake of this bread right now. Receive your healing. Receive your restoration. He bore his sins in his own body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That by his stripes we were healed. Thank you, my Father. Glory to God. Jesus. Yes, let's sing it. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. Let's partake of the cup today now. And remember the cleansing power in this blood. We must have faith in that blood. You need knowledge and faith concerning the blood. But then this is part of the application as well. You are making application right now. You are applying the blood of Jesus to your life right now. And there's no one that can point a finger at you. No one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the power and the blood. Lord, we partake of it today, bringing cleansing, healing, purification, so that we are truly unblameable and unreprovable in your sight. In Jesus' name, let's partake of that cup. And as Matt pointed out, renew that covenant, or refresh that covenant, I should say, right now. In him, let's partake of that cup. For the blood of Jesus, yes, it washes white as snow. Yes, I thank him for the blood of Jesus. He purchased our redemption by his blood. For the blood of Jesus. Yes, I thank him for the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. I remember now, he reaches to the highest mountain, reaches to the lowest valley. The blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand and let's sing this one more time. Jessica, let's do this again. Yes, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Yes, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Yes, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. Let's just sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white as snow. Now, when you go out of here today, don't just say, well, that was a nice little exercise in communion. No, listen. That was a spiritual import, great spiritual import today. And when you go out of here, if there's one thing that comes against you, apply the blood. Now you can say, I plead the blood over my vehicle, or I'm going on a trip. I plead the blood over this trip, or my kids are going off to college. I plead the blood over them. Well, you can do that, or you can simply verbalize and say, Father, thank you. I have faith in the blood of Jesus working in my kid's life. I thank you. I have faith in the blood of Jesus when I get on that airplane. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was a pilot for 46 years. And I acknowledged his handiwork in my life before I took off every single time. Hey, he got us back on the ground. They say any landing you walk away from is a good landing. So let's thank him today. Lift your hands and thank him. Thank you for your presence today, God. You're so good. Oh, God, thank you that your grace and your mercy and your love is encompassed within the blood. Oh, we love the blood of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Oh, glory to God. You have something? Here.
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's encourage them online. They can take it with
them. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Bible says you can take communion as often as you would. Maybe you're battling some sickness or something. You can take communion every single day of your life. That's right. Right in your own home. You don't have to have a preacher there. Well, Father, we bless you. Musicians, would you come and we'll just go out of here praising God for the blood. Oh, let's thank him for the blood today. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand this morning. He's awesome, isn't he? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.